Hello and welcome to the Dreamscape. I'm your host, Matthew LeBeau, and I'm going to be breaking down another podcast for everybody. So, this is in my day of making 64 pieces of content in a day. So while I'm going to be doing the podcast, at the same time, I'm going to be trying to take what I'm saying, and I'm going to try to make posts about it at the same time. I apologize if I'm going to be distracted, but for me, it's very important that I hit this goal. That way I can continue to do some, to continue to do what I've been doing, just more. I need to do this again and get really good at it so that these 18 things become very, very simple and it only takes me a few minutes to do each of them, and it'll only take me an hour out of my day, to do all of them or something like that, something crazy, ridiculous, but it would be interspersed throughout my day. Anyways, let's get into the dream stuff, because that's kind of the most important thing. So I'm going to give myself a timer of 15 minutes, because I actually don't have any more time. It'll take me about the rest of the time to make the rest of these posts. So, yeah. Let's give it a go, and then we'll start. So, the dream that I had already gone through and discussed once before, so I think it'll be a little bit easier to kind of break down. So there was three boys, each of them were brothers, and there's the eldest, the middle, and then the youngest, and they're separated by a pretty large age gap, and the youngest, actually the middle child was me in a lot of these scenes. And the father actually kind of resembled Jackie Chan in some ways, and he had goggles on at some points. But the three kids were actually searching for the father, and they go through in a sunset, like, not a grotto, but there was like a waterfall, and then they have to, like, they slip behind this one area, and they're kind of like, it's almost like a treasure hunt, sort of, but they're, like, on a quest, and then they end up getting to a place where they find the father, and when they go to find him, it kind of starts to dim around to sunset, and then they know that, and then also one of the people that was helping them was this woman who they now suspect to be a witch. Because she's kind of, like, on the edge of alternative, right? So she's kind of, like, gothic, slightly. And she's kind of mystical, somewhat, right? So they suspect her to be a witch. Because there is something aloof, and there is evil in the air. So they're trying to sniff it out. And then I proceed to, as the middle child, I lift, or I embody the father at this moment. I lift her onto my shoulders, to which point she becomes, like, naked and, like, a limp dead body and just, like, falling onto my shoulders. And I lift her up and, like, I'm shaking her, but she's just limped and dead. So I'm, like, confused. I'm like, but this was supposed to be, she was supposed to be the evil one. I don't know what's the deal here, because that's not what was supposed to happen. And then we start to, and then all of a sudden there's like a table and we're at a dinner scene, and there's a white projector or a white vision board that's out in front of me, and we're trying to figure out who it is, and it first goes to the father. Well, the father was here last, and he was gone for a long period of time, so if anybody were to disappear and go through some change, he would be the one, because he's most recently here, right? It would be easy for somebody to impersonate him, because we haven't seen him for so long, and then we were very highly suspective of the father. And then somehow it shifted to the older brother, and then it shifted to me. And then I couldn't believe it, and I got quite frustrated, or I wanted to make a point, or I said something, and then I slammed, like, a knife over and over and over, or at the back of a metal fork over and over and over. I slammed it down to try to, like, change what was on this vision board. By the way, any time that there was, like an image of me or anybody else, it would be up there on this white wall projector like this, and it would explain visually how everything went down. And I just couldn't agree with it. So I was like slamming my hand down on this and the table, and I, when doing so, I slammed the fingers or toes off of the youngest boy. I slammed my hands down and it dismembered his fingers, or it crushed them. And he didn't make a sound. Not a peep. He'd said nothing. And the whole room gets quiet. Because I notice that, and I say it, and I point it, and everybody sees it happen. And by the time people see me crushing his fingers, and everybody makes the awareness that this isn't the case, on that vision mind wall, it shifts to the boy, and then it says that in that moment, and it's clear as day. Of course, the boy is the evil one. He's been possessed. And, or it's not even the boy at all, right? And then in that moment, everything changes, and I see the vision board also describe the eye of the evil one, and it shows the mark of the evil one. And it has a purple, it's an eye vertical, so it's not eye horizontal, it's like someone's on the side, eye vertical, only a single eye, and then it's purple around the edges, and it tapers off, and it's one eye, but there's like a thick purple black mess, and then it kind of, that's kind of the whole symbol, right? And then what happens is the boy tells us to put our hands out on the table, and we all do. And then two tendrils jut out. There's actually four, but there's two on each side. And they jut out, and they shoot out. They're very long, 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 long tendrils. They're the length of this grand table. And they shoot out, and all the people that have their hands out, while that happens, he's explaining that they would understand if they heard his story, and this is how he's going to tell his story. And he shoots out these tendrils beneath people's arms who are just outstretched, and the tendrils wrap underneath of people's arms, and they shoot all the way out, and then, and these tendrils are like, they're like wide, and then they're small, they're wide, and then they're small, they're wide, and they're small, but they're only wide and small on one side, and they're purple and black, right, and there's two of them, and they're weaving, like, around each other, like, wavy, and they're spinning around each other, and they kind of, like, flare out at the end on both ends, and then they both go underneath of everybody's arms, and then on the palm of your forearm, I guess, an eye, a vertical eye, appears from the end of your, and it's kind of in the midpoint of your forearm, if your palms are facing up, an eye would open on either hand. And I remember at this point, I did not want to be part of this ritual. I did not want to know. I was like, this is his evil plot. We are falling directly into it. We cannot listen to this because we will be succumbed to the evil. Like, we cannot fall prey to this. And then my dream ended. That's the whole thing. So, anyways, that's the dream. Thank you for showing up. And if you do have a dream, actually, you could message me. I'm looking for more people on the podcast. So if you enjoyed listening to my dream and you want to share your own, I fully welcome anybody to come onto this podcast to completely share your dreams. And then we can chat about it later, because I think these kind of like dream days would be very interesting if when I said a dream, somebody were to come in and say, hey, but what was the ground like? Because I know what the ground was like. I know I was there, right? So these are all little things that I just gloss over because I was there, you know? But I think having another eye, wow, that's funny. Having another person to kind of discuss this with would be very great. So, I mean, I'm searching for a podcast member. So, yeah. Anyways, thank you for showing up and have a good day. See ya.